T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors, hour number 2 on tap.
Yep, we're still here.
Yep, we still here. We got another hour to go and a lot of good stuff in the second hour. But I just want to say, you know how you ever have a meeting? Well, y'all don't do this at work, but we have it. I'm more in corporate America during the week. And they'll say, they'll have this hour-long conference call or something, and somebody will come on and say, if you don't take anything away from this meeting, you need to remember this. So if you listen to the first hour and you don't remember anything we said during the first hour, here's what you need to know.
Okay.
White vinegar, Dawn dish soap, and mostly water is a good, would you call that homeopathic?
I know. I don't think Dawn dish detergent's homeopathic, but you can use it on ducks.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I'm gonna try.
You're not
gonna
kill ducks with it.
No, it's safe enough to use on ducks.
But what I'm saying is white vinegar, Dawn dish detergent, and mostly water is a good, safe, non-toxic weed killer.
We're gonna try it.
Yeah.
We'll report back next week to tell y'all how it works. Because we're gonna try it.
So during hour number 2, Boat Girl's gonna bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
Yep.
And then we're going to cover an article from Wide Open Spaces about how to match your broadhead with your bow setup.
That'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be some good timely information for this time of year. And then, can't wait, we're going to interview the newest FLW Forestwood Cup winner, our buddy Brian Thrift from up the road in Shelby, North Carolina.
That's going to be awesome.
He won.
Big win.
He won on Lake Hamilton last week, Forestwood Cup in August. Tough place, tough time of year.
That separates the men from the boys right there.
Yep, and he went wire to wire on it. So looking forward to talking to Brian. And then we're going to wrap up our show with our calendar of events. Got a few things to talk about there.
We got a couple coming up.
Banquets. It's almost always banquet season for something.
Yeah. And we got a few that y'all, you know, they're a little far out, and we can make plans so everybody gets to go and heard it here.
And in our parting shot, we're going to talk about a Washington State woman who was bitten on the face after posing with an octopus that she put on her face. I couldn't make this stuff up, folks.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Every week.
I hope she got a lot of likes out of that.
Yeah, I hope so.
But in the meantime,
well, everybody's busy because school's starting back soon and life's busy. And we wanted to cook something this past week to where, because we both had busy schedules last week and 100 million things going on. And we wanted to cook something where we had leftovers.
Yep.
I mean, that's the only reason why we made this past week is because we're like, well, if we do this, we can have leftovers and we don't have to cook the next day and this, that, and the other. And we got to do this, that, and the other. And I know with school starting back that's probably, I mean, we don't have young children, but that's probably where a lot of people are.
We don't have any children.
Just Lamont.
Other than Lamont, he don't eat much.
No, just fuel and stabilizer.
Yeah.
So what we did this week, I call it super easy, because it is super easy, venison baked spaghetti. We start with 1.5 pounds of ground venison. Now, we do not use venison that is mixed with fat at the processor.
No,
we
straight venison.
100% straight venison. I think it tastes better that way. I do not like it mixed with fat. One family-sized jar of spaghetti sauce. Yes, we are using spaghetti sauce out of a jar. We didn't have time to homemade sauce for 3 hours on simmer.
Yep.
I love homemade sauce, but there just wasn't time to do that this week. One package, 14-ounce angel hair pasta. 2 cups of shredded mozzarella cheese. We bought the kind in the bag because it was easy. And 1/2 cup of shredded Parmesan. Now, when we say shredded Parmesan, I mean the real cheese, not the powdery stuff in the jar.
Yeah.
That powdery stuff's not good for recipes.
Yeah.
And a few spices, a little oregano, a little Italian seasoning, whatever you want to throw in there.
Yeah.
So, brown the venison, add the sauce to the venison after it's browned. Now, I wish I could tell you how much sauce. Consistency is the key on this. You want to make the sauce not so meaty that it's kind of dry, because the noodles, when you bake the spaghetti, is going to absorb some of the sauce. But you don't want it soupy and runny. Start throwing sauce in it until it feels about right.
Yeah, so what you're doing,
when you're cooking the noodles, you're browning the meat and making the sauce.
And you put the spaghetti, cook it, I think it's about 10 minutes on that, and then you want to drain the spaghetti, real good.
Yeah, in a colander.
And put it back in the pot and mix it. You're going to go ahead and pre-mix the meat and the sauce along with the spaghetti noodles and get a good mix the way you like it. If you don't like it with a lot of sauce and a lot of meat, then leave some of that out. But you're going to have a little bit of stuff left over.
Yeah, we figured that out.
And even the spaghetti noodles, really about only half the package wound up.
Yeah, maybe a little more than half.
In the pan.
We used a regular size 9x11 baking dish, and we just about filled it up. So throw all that in the baking dish. We grease the baking dish first. I don't know if we really needed to, but we spread it down with a little olive oil.
Yep.
And then we threw the mixed up spaghetti noodle sauce and the meat and everything and some spices and some Italian seasoning, a little bit of oregano, a little bit of garlic salt on top of the pasta sauce or the spaghetti sauce in a jar.
Yep.
Just spice it up a little bit. And we sprinkled the top of the casserole with mozzarella and the Parmesan, and then stuck it in the oven.
You want to get a good layer
that
kind of
looks like lasagna.
And that's why you use more mozzarella. You get a good layer of the mozzarella, and then you want to kind of lightly sprinkle the Parmesan.
The half a cup of Parmesan on top of that. Yep. So what that does is the mozzarella is, gooey, and then that Parmesan tends to get a little bit crispy on top, and it's delicious.
Yep. Yep.
30 minutes. 350.
Yeah. Preheat your oven to 350 while you're doing all that stuff.
Smells delicious, tastes delicious. And we had this huge pan of baked spaghetti. And it's really the best one that we've ever made. I don't know how it turned out so good.
And here's the cool thing about it is, we used a glass baking dish. But if you want to use like a one of these aluminum pans, do they make 9x11 aluminum pans? I guess you can get that.
Yeah, of course.
Or however big you want to make it. That's something that you can make and bake, and then you can put it in the refrigerator and take it somewhere, cover it up. And then when you get to wherever you're going, then you can
put it back in the oven.
You can reheat it. Now, you're not going to put it in the microwave.
No.
In that aluminum stuff.
My husband doesn't like the microwave at all.
But you can even, it's good for reheating it.
But you can't in aluminum.
And that's also one of those things that, if you're going to take somebody a dish, if somebody's had, whatever reason,
this is the South. We take everybody food.
All you Southern Baptists out there, myself included,
take people food.
When somebody's
born,
somebody
dies, somebody's birthday. This is a good thing
that you could make for them is a pan of baked spaghetti. Put it in the pan. It don't cost a whole lot.
No.
Especially if you've already got the venison and you're trying to get rid of it.
And I'm a lasagna eater. I love lasagna.
And it's easier than lasagna.
Prep time. Oh. It was great. It hit the spot this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And the leftovers did too.
Yeah, and you got leftovers for days. And it's good.
It was awesome.
And, if you're thinking about the guys down at the Deer Club, hey, make them a big old pan of spaghetti and take that down there opening day.
That's right.
All right, well, we're going to go to our break now, and then when we come back, we're going to – what are we doing when we come back? We're going to talk some more Upstate Outdoors. No, we're going to talk about broadheads for your bow setup. Stay with us.
Looking forward to this. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, well, how many of you are looking forward to bow season?
Me.
That's it? Just one
of them? Well, I mean, I'm probably the only one
I'm looking forward to bow season, too. I have to admit, I liked gun season, but I like to be able to hunt during that time period. You can kill some nice bucks during bow season.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And you kill
it's
some
before
nice,
Big Daddy knows it's deer season
that, and
yet.
That, I mean, and veteran hunters will tell you that's a good time to kill a big deer before they get the pressure on them.
That's
if,
right.
If you can get a pattern. But in order to do so, you're going to have the right broad head for your bow setup. And most folks who have hunted for a while already know, you know, what they're going to put on the end of their stick. But if you're new to it or looking for it or want validation on what you're using, I got this article out of wideopenspaces.com. And the author, Micah Sargent, says, using the correct method to match your broadhead to your bow can be the difference between success and failure in archery hunting. And he goes on talking about the trend is towards bigger and better. And that's not necessarily the case because you got a lot of people on TV who are, you know, advocating this broadhead or that broadhead or, you know, maybe they're wanting something that's gonna be good for deer, pigs, you know, big game out west and all that. And for deer hunting, that's not necessarily the case. Now, if you hunt with a traditional bow, okay?
I don't know anybody that hunts with a traditional bow, like a recurve.
Yeah, like a recurve.
Okay.
An expandable broadhead is not something that you want to put on the end of your arrow. Traditional hunters use heavy draw weight arrows to compensate for the slow arrow speed, better penetration, and an expandable broadhead is going to take away a lot of that for opening. But they're going to use a fixed grain broadhead that's up to 300 grains.
So they're throwing...
Yeah, you want to throw it to them.
Okay.
And like I said, the cut on contact head, and that's going to maximize the penetration. Now, pay attention, bow girl, because this is you.
This is me.
Compound
right
bow in the range from 30 pounds to 50 pounds. Now, we had this.
I'm right about 50.
I can't remember if it was on the air. We were talking with Brandon Emery down at Protune Archery about, you know, what's the minimum, and there's not a minimum in South Carolina, but he said, 40. He said 40, 45 is really what you're going to need, you know, to effectively.
I'm at 48 right now.
Yeah, yeah. So you're there.
I'm getting there. Okay.
He says a lot of deer being killed by compound bows with a draw weight of 50 pounds or less, but a lot of shooters also likely use the wrong broadhead. A compound shooter using a light draw weight should focus on penetration and should use a fixed cut on contact head like the 2-blade Magnus Stinger or the 3-blade G3 Montec.
Okay, I'm going to write these down.
So,
definitely.
So if you're in a lot of these like small fixed blades are going to give you the better penetration, and a lot of them are going to have a cutting diameter of about an inch and a half or less. And that's plenty, okay?
Okay.
Because killing a deer is about shot placement. It's not about blowing a big old hole through them. Now, when we get into the range of a compound bow that's 50 pounds or more.
Which is you.
Then, well, okay, compound bow of 50 pounds or more or something that's going to have more than that. And that's where your crossbows are going to be.
Right.
You got energy to spare with a crossbow.
I wonder what the equivalent draw weight is on a crossbow.
I should be able to
tell you. A lot.
I should be able to tell you that, but I can't.
I mean, if you're talking arrow speed, it's probably.
Arrow speed is going to be in the upper end above 300 feet per second.
Yeah.
Even pushing 400 feet per second. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And because you don't have that longer arrow in a crossbow.
The travel's short.
People want to call them bolts, but they're not bolts. They are crossbow arrows. Those big bows with 50-plus or crossbow have enough energy, and I'm adding the crossbow part because that's not mentioned in the article. They have enough energy to punch large diameter broadheads through an animal's vitals. And then the list of manufacturers' brands goes on and on. he mentions the NAP kill zone. He also mentions, well, let's see, what's another one here? The Rage Broadheads, I think, is in there. He also says you can, you know, you got a wide range. You can use a small diameter fixed blade. And I shot the smaller diameter, like the Slick Tricks.
Yeah.
I shot those for a couple of years. I think I still got those on my compound bow. And I liked them. Okay? I mean, you don't have to, and of course, there's some guy out there who's going, you didn't mention Muzzy. Muzzy's bad to the bone. Yeah. You pull in a lot of draw weight, then you put you a fixed blade Muzzy on there. That's probably killed more deer.
I wonder if I can get in the over 50 club before deer season.
I
don't know.
I don't think you need to. I think my recommendation,
you'd be better
for,
to practice
my
accuracy.
Recommendation for you is going to be to get one of those, either the Montex, I think I got some of those, or the Slick Tricks.
And make it happen.
And make it happen.
Just put the air in the right place, and I don't have to worry about it, right?
In the right place. Here's something we didn't talk about in this article that you and I need to talk about, so we'll talk about it on air. is the big fixed blades have the tendency, you have to tune those. So you got to line up the fletching with the blade,
right?
Or they will plane on you. Mm-hmm. They'll actually, you know, aerodynamically,
like an airplane.
They'll move. Okay,
so they're gonna float.
Yeah. So what happens? I mean, yeah. If you don't tune the aero right, they can move. Now you'll see a lot of these expandables. You know, those are the ones that open
they
on
flip
contact.
Open. And you got some of them.
And they'll say. They fly like field points. You'll see a lot. Oh, these fly like field points. No tuning necessary. You know, back in the day, and some of these may have, you know, they may be, I guess it depends on how you line up your inserts and everything. But like the small blades, the Slick Tricks and the Montex and stuff like that, plenty of cutting power, and they're going to fly like a field point.
That's what we want.
That's what you want. Yeah, definitely. We want to have something that's going to fly like a field point. Would not recommend expandable. That's what I'm going to use. I'm going to use the Rage.
That's 50 pound and over.
Because Hank Parker gave me those. And I still got, I don't know, he gave me a handful of them.
I know, that's pretty cool.
And I still got them. So.
It'd be cool to get I sent him a text
every time I kill a deer with one of his broadheads and say, yeah, one of them you gave me, just put another one down.
that's kind of cool.
And I end up, I mean, like I did, now I'm probably going to end up doing the same thing. I end up being so selective, you know, during bow season. I'm talking, yeah, you need to be shooting a doe. And I'm out there like, nah, man, I'm waiting on that big boy.
I'm waiting
on that big boy.
I will know.
Because I know you're going to kill a doe.
If it's right.
I know you're going to kill a doe. So.
Not if it don't feel right.
Nah, it don't feel right. Well, let's get our break because we got Brian Thrift on the other line. We'll go through the break, and then we'll come back and talk to the Forestwood Cup winner, Brian Thrift, from up the road. So stay tuned.
That's right. Right here, 106.3 WORD. We'll be right back.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, well, as promised, our next guest is no stranger to doing radio interviews and probably done a lot of them this week. We got Brian Thrift, the newest Forestwood Cup winner. Brian,
champion.
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I don't know which way to go first, Brian. What I want to talk about is – you know, you've won Angler of the Year, what, two times? But it's always, but you don't have the cup. And I don't think anybody ever said, yeah, but he never won a cup.
No, nobody's ever said that.
And now they can't say that anymore. So does that, I'm sure that's a bucket list item for you.
Oh, it definitely was. You know, that's something I was hoping to accomplish one day, and glad we finally got it done.
So what, you know, after you accomplish that, I guess it's just now we're looking for the next one. Or, I mean, when you're a bass fisherman like that and you've reached these milestones, angler of the year and winning the cup, is there any kind of planning, or is it just, hey, you know, the next time I'm out, it's wake up in the morning, crank the boat up, and let's go catch some fish?
That's pretty much how I approach it, is just, you know, every day is different, and you just got to approach each event like it's, you know, its own separate event, not worry about what's happened in the past.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to say was, and I'm not taking any credit because this was all entirely you, but about a month ago, you and I did an interview for Carolina Sportsman where you described the way you were going to, you know, that you would fish in kind of late summer. And doggone, if that didn't –
That panned out.
That was pretty much the playbook for how you won the cup last week.
It really was. You know, I had never seen Lake Hamilton before until, you know, I got there for the first day of practice. And it reminded me of a lot of the lakes we have here in North and South Carolina. And just the way it's set up with a lot of boat docks, you know, a lot of brush piles and stuff like that. So I felt very familiar once I got there.
And it was funny, but everybody kind of said, I mean, you were a favorite to win. Why do you think that was?
I really don't know. Like, I don't know what had everybody thinking that this was going to be the one I would win, but I'm glad it worked out.
Well, and if you keep up with the FLW, Brian, you are so consistent. Year after year, tournament after tournament. I mean, you're always right up there. And I just kind of wonder if everybody's like, well, Brian's always going to be at the top. Somewhere in that top five, top 10, I mean, you're going to be at the top. So I guess they thought you were due. I know you thought you were due. I mean, this is a big deal on Hamilton, big win on Hamilton.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you can't really prepare for, and you can never go into it planning to win it because, you know, August fishing is some of the toughest fishing of the year. I mean, so you've got so many extremes and so many, you know, things you can't plan on. It's just kind of got to fall into place.
Yeah, and you know, any time you're fishing in August in the South, and that's another thing that I would ask about, and I always talk to all the FLW anglers about that is, you guys have your championship, your crowning achievement.
The hardest month of the year.
The hardest month of the year. And I'm not going to say the hardest lakes, but, you know, really that time of year, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're not up north trying to catch, you know, walleyes, or not walleyes, but smallmouth. You know, you're down south trying to catch largemouth.
Yeah, I love the cup being in August like it is because, you know, to me, a championship shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be easy fishing. You should have to, you know, there's more factors to winning the cup than just fishing. I mean, you've got to mentally be prepared. You're out there in 100-degree days for 12 hours a day in practice. You know, it should be grueling and trying, and I just feel like it would be too easy if it was any other time of the year.
And I've heard a lot of pro anglers say that. They're like, you know, I don't like fishing on any lake, any time of year when the fishing is easy because, you know, that takes the luck out of it. You know, if everybody's catching fish, then it's just a matter of, you know, was I lucky enough to be in the right spot? But if it's hard to catch fish, then like you said, that's where, you know, the skill and the knowledge and the mental toughness all come into play.
Right.
So as far as the pattern, how did that work out for you? I mean, you led wire to wire, so you had to have had some kind of strategy going into it, maybe even something that you figured out on day one.
Yeah, my plan there was to approach it like I do all pretty much any lake in the South in the summertime. You know, you're going to start out shallow, throwing top water, running the bank, just trying to catch those few fish that are still up shallow from the night before, and try to capitalize on that early morning shallow bite. And then I kind of transition over to brush piles and deeper stuff and things like that. So it was kind of a a 1-2 punch was what I used for the up there at Hamilton for the Cup.
And I was reading from the write-up from FLW was really good. I thought it was very insightful, and it said that Brian Thrift 10 years ago probably couldn't have fished the way Brian Thrift did last week.
No, and that's something I've kind of learned over the years. You know, it took me a few years to make myself slow down and try to force them to bite when I knew I had a group of fish that was worth giving a few extra minutes.
Right.
Yeah, and any time, you know, it's hard. It's hard to leave when you know you've got schooling fish, even though they may not be very big, and, you know, referring to the last day of the tournament. You got schooling fish and you're catching fish. Man, it's hard to leave that knowing that, you know, the next place you go to, you may not even get a bite.
Right, that's exactly right. And those schooling fish, that's actually, I mean, they played a big part in – well, actually, they played a huge part because I didn't know it at the time. But when I left those schooling fish, I actually had enough to win the event right then. You know, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got to get a big bite. I don't have enough. But going ahead and having that limit early on in the last day really gave me the confidence to slow down and go fish the brush thoroughly, try to pick it apart and get those one or two bites that I felt like I needed to win the event.
So now that you have this huge win under your belt, I was kind of looking at the stats on FLW. Does that put your FLW career winnings? Are you the number one in that spot?
No, I think I'm in second or third. I think David Dudley still got the lead.
You got to be close by now, though. I mean, what a big deal!
I think he's done well.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the total numbers are.
What an outstanding career you've had so far.
That's something his wife keeps up with. Ryan will keep up with that.
She keeps up with that.
He knows the next thing he's got to do is he's got to go fish somewhere. That's something the wife keeps up with.
Yeah. I got to go to the Potomac River.
Yeah. Well, so, Brian, before we let you go, give us a rundown as far as the lures that you use to win. This year's
we all want to know.
Cup. Yeah, we want to know. That's always a good thing after the tournament. What'd you throw?
I threw a little bit of everything. I mean, I'm blasting off every morning with 15 rods on the deck, and I think I caught fish on all of them throughout the event. But it ended up I caught most of my fish came out of brush or offshore fishing, and that was either on a big monster worm, a Damiki armor shad on a new Damiki underspan head, and then I caught some cranking, caught some on a buzzbait, caught some on a frog. It's just a
he had to open up all the boxes.
Yeah, it makes it sound easy. It's like, oh man, they were biting everything I was throwing.
and that's one reason I love fishing in the summertime and in August so much is because there's hardly ever one pattern that outshines another. And you've got to be very versatile and be able to do a little bit of everything. And I feel like that's something that I've kind of developed over the years to figure out how to make it work for me, where, you know, I might run in a pocket, throw a buzz bait around the bank for a little bit, and then swing out on a point and fish a brush pile, and then go in the back of a creek and throw a frog, just kind of jump around everywhere and sample a little bit of everything the lake has to offer every day.
Well, Brian, the newest Forest Wood Cup winner, man, we appreciate you being on the show, and good luck, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again about all the success you've had on the tour.
Great. I really appreciate it. I appreciate y'all having me on, and hopefully we can do it again one day.
All right, take care.
Awesome. Congratulations. Y'all stay with us. We got to go to our break.
Yep, we're going to go to our break now, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up our show with our calendar of events.
Got a few.
And also we'll get into that parting shot about the the lady who decided to do a selfie with an octopus. So
yeah, that's never smart.
Never smart. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
All right, well, welcome back to the last segment. Before we get started in the calendar events, I have to apologize to all to all of the Schwacker and Hank Parker fans, because Boat Girl's like, why'd you say Hank Parker makes Rage? And I'm like, what? What did I say? I'm sitting here looking at the article that's talking about Rage Broadheads. And no, Hank Parker.
And we got the break, and I'm like, what about the Schwackers?
Is the Schwacker Broadhead. So.
Yes.
I'm not going to text him, man. I just say, hey, I use one of your Broadheads again.
We will promise to let y'all know if PG takes one down with a Schwacker.
Yeah, with a Schwacker.
Hank Parker
that's
special.
That's what I use. I've used the Rage Broadheads, too, and they're good, too. So.
Yeah.
Apologies. Live radio, you know, you just got
to
say.
I'm kind of trying to elbow him, and he's like, what are you doing? I know we need to go to break.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So. But anyway, we got a calendar of events on tap. So, Boat Girl, that's your cue.
Oh, trying to get it pulled up. Okay. Thursday, August 22nd, Lake Kiwi Ducks Unlimited Annual Banquet. This banquet's featuring live auction, gun raffles, dinner, and open bar. This is at the Lighthouse Event Center on Lake Kiwi.
They ain't never had open bar at the Lighthouse before, have they?
I don't know. It's a pretty nice place if you've never been there. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Single ticket is $60. Couples, $100. You can buy tickets online at ducks.org and click over to the South Carolina events page. For more information, contact Jacob Turner at 864-710-8900. August 29th, on Thursday, Clinton House Plantation's doing a shooting dine. Skeet shooting at the Clinton House, followed by Low Country Bull. Cost is $45 for 50 targets, and then dinner with fresh Low Country shrimp. That is a great event. Wonderful food. Low Country Bull's awesome.
Yep.
Shoot anytime that day, and then eat shortly after 7. If you don't want to shoot, you can go on out and eat for $30. All are welcome. Come on out and enjoy good food, good fun, and good company. RSVP Mike at theclintonhouse.net. Or call 864-833-0274 and ask for Dawn on Wednesday through Saturdays, because Mike is busy, and as much as he'd like to talk to you, he ain't got no time.
That's right. He's out
filling. Did you write this, PG?
He's out filling feeders, yeah. That's what he'd tell you. No, call Dawn.
I ain't got no time.
She
here
to set Wednesday through Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday through Saturday she's there. That's their busy days.
Yeah.
October 24th, giving y'all time to plan, which is on Thursday, Piedmont Chapter of National Wild Turkey Federation is holding their annual Hunting Heritage Banquet held at South Carolina National Guard Armory at 165 Industrial Park Road in Union. This starts at 6 p.m., features dinner and live auction. For more information, call Kevin Shropshire, 864-426-1840. Or email kshropshire@countyofunion.com. And I think that's all we got for today.
That's all we got.
If y'all have events, stuff you want us to put out there, banquets, fundraisers, outdoor stuff.
Ideas.
Stuff.
Any communication.
Just let us know.
Bye.
Facebook, email, give it to them, PG. I'm sorry.
I wrote it down there.
I did. Upstate Outdoors at 1063WORD.com. It wasn't highlighted, y'all. Sorry.
Oh,
it is live radio.
I got to highlight it for you.
I mean, I got all this stuff in front of me.
Yeah, you can email us.
I will do better next time.
You can email us at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com.
Can y'all tell my husband is a radio professional and I'm not?
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. It's a learning curve.
Don't worry about that. Hey, at least you didn't say that Hank Parker had Rage
Broadheads.
Hey,
at least I knew what broadheads belonged to Hank Parker.
Yeah, Schwackers.
God.
Everybody knows that. I ain't got a dadgum hat. He gave me a hat.
I am not even a bow hunter,
Schwacker.
And I knew that Hank Parker
it's got
was Schwacker
on it.
Not Rage.
I didn't get him to sign it because I don't do autographs and stuff like that.
Hank Parker's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet, though.
Yeah.
He is such a great guy.
Oh, yeah. As long as y'all don't tell him I said Rage.
I'm not going to tell him.
I'm really worried
y'all
about that.
Y'all out there, don't tell him.
Yeah,
okay?
Don't tell him that. Wait till I see Hank Parker. Anyway, so let's jump into today's parting shot. Well, can't make this stuff up. Matter of fact, I got this off of WMBFnews.com. It's an article, and they've got I hadn't looked at the video yet, but it looks like, I don't know, you know, some of this stuff, the dumb things that people do and we wind up covering are, I feel like, are staged. I don't feel like this one was staged. I think somebody was probably videoing it, and they got a video. I hadn't watched it yet. But this comes from Pierce County, Washington, out on the left coast. And what a Washington woman thought would be a fun and unusual photo op turned into a painful situation when an octopus bit her on the face and injured her with its venom. Because they do inject venom when they bite.
Yes.
Jamie Biscelli says she intended to enter a photo contest during a fishing derby near Tacoma, Washington. So she met up Friday to take a picture with some fishermen who had hooked an octopus. So crazy me, hindsight now, and looking back, actually she's like, so crazy me, hindsight now. Her face is probably swole up.
Probably like bee sting.
I probably may have been mistaken. So Biscalia?
Yeah, I think
put the small
right.
octopus, which was believed to either be a juvenile version of a giant Pacific octopus or a Pacific red octopus, on her face and posed. And she said at first the animal grabbed her with its suckers. Then it did something she didn't expect. It bit her on the face,
well,
like more than once. She said,
she shouldn't have put it in her mouth.
Well, she got it covering her whole face. Says it had barreled its beak into my chin and then let go a little bit, and then it bit me again, the victim said. It was really intense pain when the beak went inside, and it just bled dripping blood for a long time. Now, both types of octopi could have been, I don't know who wrote this. It doesn't make sense.
They're not a writer.
So basically they're talking about both.
They're talking about the beaks.
Both of the species.
Whichever type it could have been.
Of the octopus have a powerful beak to break and eat crabs. Y'all really need to have an editor on your video stuff, dude, because you could look stupid. And they use the beak to break open crabs, clams, and mussels, and their bites also contain venom to immobilize their prey. So
that's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a biologist, but, you know, there's reasons.
Yeah. Well, that's our show for today. I want to thank our guests, Michael Hook and, of course, Brian Thrift. And we'll thank Boat Girl. Thanks for being on the show, co-hostess with the mostest.
You're so sweet.
We'll be here next week. And y'all get outside, have fun, enjoy the outdoors, tight lines, and we'll see you next week.
That's right. Y'all have a great week right here, 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.